He died for you. He died for me. From our sin, He set us free. He loved us so. His life He gave. So if we ask, we can be saved.
Hello, I'm Rick Hurtless, founder of His Gospel Power, and it is exciting times that we are living in. If you are watching the news, if you're a Christian, then you should be excited. If you are fearful, if you are scared, then you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Read His Word, and then you will understand that these times must come so that He can come and that we can be with Him throughout eternity. Thank you so much for joining with our broadcast. I want to offer you an invitation to go to my website, hisgospelpower.org. That's hisgospelpower.org. But I would like to give you more training if you would like to get that. All you have to do is fill out your email on the front page there, and there's more training. I will put you on my email list. I will continuously be able to send you things, keep you updated on our ministry as we grow and as we minister to the world and minister to the lost around the world. I am so excited that you join with our ministry. And now let's hear about true freedom.
We have a fifth Wednesday night singing. And if you weren't there, you missed it. But I know that we had a young man who came and played a song at the end of the service. And Miss Joanne told us a little story that maybe some of y'all didn't know. I certainly didn't, because I've been here a lot shorter than most of you. But Miss Vanessa used to come to church and sing, play the same song every week until but aren't we glad that she did that? Because boy, now she can play just every song. So that was it was an awesome time. If you missed that, don't miss the next one. It was just a lot of fun, just sitting around Wednesday night, just singing different songs. We just had a really good time. We're going to continue our series in about true freedom. What is true freedom? What are the freedoms that we have today? Are they only freedoms in the Constitution? I mean, who promises the freedoms that we have? Now, we have freedoms in America that were promised to us by the Constitution that was written by our forefathers that we're allowed to have, that we can have because of that piece of paper. But is that piece of paper all that gives us freedom? And of course, if you're a Christian, you know that that is not what gives us freedom at all. What gives us freedom is the freedom that we have in God and the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ because of the sacrifice that He made for us. And today, we're going to look at our God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in fact, I'm going to prove that to you by using the Old Testament and by using the New Testament. Now, many say, you know, this is a New Testament church. We don't even need the Old Testament. Well, that's folly. Okay, when you hear, if you listen to the radio or you listen to radio preachers or anything like that, and you hear that kind of noise, just turn that thing off or turn to the next station. Because that is a man who does not know the Word of God. Because the Word of God was written in its entirety so that we might get a good picture of God. And that includes from Genesis to Revelation. Because Jesus came and had His sacrifice on the cross for us, that did not wipe out the Old Testament. And in fact, what it did is it re-solidified the Old Testament so that we might know that God truly loves us because of all the junk that He has had to put up with us throughout the mankind, throughout since He's created us. And He still does. I mean, look at the folly that we have in America today. Not only America, as we were driving in, Francis was talking about in South Africa. Someone was posting, I guess it was posting on the Facebook, about South Africa and how they are having a lot of troubles in South Africa and that their parliament, they practice open witchcraft in their parliament. Well, and of course, they're in an upheaval. They're all in chaos because they don't allow God to come in They allow Satan, the king of chaos, to lead their country. And now, as America allows more and more of Satan to lead our country, or just the lack of God, that is the more chaos that we see. That is what we see today. Well, true freedom does not come from the piece of paper that was written by our forefathers, although that's important. And I believe an inspired document. I believe it is a document that is eternal as well, because it was inspired, I believe, by God. However, that is not why we have freedom. We have freedom because of Jesus Christ. And freedom, in fact, true freedom, is a state of mind and a state of the heart. True freedom is not what you're experiencing. True freedom is what you have and what you possess because of Jesus Christ. That is true freedom. Freedom allows you to know that you're free to succeed in this life, and that's through Jesus. Now, I want you to know that there are freedoms that we have in America, and there are certain freedoms, actually, that people follow. Do you know the richest men in America follow biblical principles? Now, that does not mean they're Christians. But they recognize that if they follow those principles, that they succeed. And that is why, because God has certain laws that He has placed on this earth that are going to happen no matter whether you're evil or good. They're going to happen. When it rains, it's going to rain this week. And when it rains, if you're standing next to a wicked man, he's going to get wet, right? When it rains, if you have a farm here and a wicked man has a farm right next to you, chances are he's going to get wet, right? It's going to water his field. If you drop something, whether you're wicked or whether you're good, it's going to fall. That's gravity. That is what God's law says. The same exact thing, if you follow the principles of God, you will have success in your life. It's just one of those things. Now, some follow them just because it's part of our tradition as Americans, because we have had Christian roots that have taught people. They don't realize that. They're throwing that out. But still, people who follow those laws find themselves in a successful way. God wants you to be successful. In John 10:10, it says that I have come so that you might have the abundant life. God wants to bless you. It is not His desire to sit up there on His white throne and get ready to zap you because you're doing wrong. It is His desire to sit and want to bless you whether you deserve it or not. That's the funny thing. You know, your kids were not probably, now I know I was, but your kids were probably not always ideal kids. But see, now my parents are right here to tell you that I was probably the ideal child. Well, my sister says you've been tattling already. So now I need to repent. Is that what you're trying to say? You know, we are not ideal, but yet our parents still love us. I mean, how many people do you know that they have severe problems in their life? They have maybe their son or daughter who is just rampant and not controllable at all, but mom and dad still love them. It's just a funny thing how that works. Well, how much more our Heavenly Father? No matter what it is we're doing or going through, our God still loves us. Now, that doesn't mean He wants us to continue to do that. It means that He wants us to repent, come to Him, allow Him to guide our life. Neither does the earthly father want turmoil or chaos in their family. They want it to come under control and the family gets stronger, but at the same time, they still love those children that are having problems. It's just the way it works. It's the way God had set us up. Well, God wants us to live for His glory, and He will bless you according to His glory, according to His will. Number one, He wants you to live according to His glory, and He will bless you according to His will. Now, you've heard me say this many times. That does not mean you can say, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz?" If that's God's will, you know what? You're going to get that. I mean, you know, if I'm going to go and minister to Donald Trump, God might want to give me a Rolls Royce and a Learjet, because Donald Trump might be more apt to listen to someone that's successful to be able to go and talk to this successful man. However, don't limit God. Because he might give me an old jalopy and some bad shoes, and I meet Donald Trump in a service station someday. So don't limit God either. I'm just saying, don't put him in a box, no matter what it is. Don't put him in a box and say, well, I certainly can't have the Learjet because I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to be poor. Well, first you're going to have to show me where that's at. I can't find that. Now, some people will say that Jesus asked the rich man, he said, give up all you have, give to the poor, and follow me. But that was a different set of circumstances, and he was testing that man's heart because he knew where his idols lie, and it was not with Jesus. So see, don't try to throw that one out of context at me. God wants to bless you. It's his will that you have a blessing. In Malachi, this is the Old Testament, chapter 3. 6 through 12, I want you to see here, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, just like it says in Hebrews. And in fact, in Malachi 6, it says, I, the Lord, do not change. See, he's telling you right there, look, I'm the same. If there's any changing going on here, you did it. I'm not changing. I still believe this way. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. You see what he's saying? He said, look, I don't change. I still have compassion, or else I'd wipe you off the face of this earth. He really is telling us the same thing. Remember, he's talking to people here. He's talking to the Jews in this context, okay? But according to the scripture, we are grafted in Jews if we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, okay? I do not change, so you, descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Does that sound familiar? Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, well, how will I return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you in tithes and offerings? You are under curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me, because they have not been doing what they have told them to do. Now, tithes and offerings is not only money. It's what you are doing with your life. How you are living your life for God. That's tithes and offerings. Is your offering is coming to church. That's an offering. Your offering is praying to God. Your offering is being kind to others. Your offering is not being greedy. Those are offerings that God has gives you. And in fact, I think has built this great nation on. Those are the offerings that we give because we help people around the world. Always have. Why do we do that? Because we are Christians. That is why we do that. We care about people because of what Christ has done. He goes on to say, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. This is one of the few places he says, prove me. Test me. He says, you know what? Just try this out. If you don't believe it, try it. He says, God says, the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. And then the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land because the Lord God Almighty. Now listen. Are the nations calling Jews blessed right now? Think about that before you answer. Are the nations calling the Jews blessed right now? I say yes. I say they are. Because their jealousy is running so deep that they want them destroyed and wiped off the map. They are so jealous because they are receiving so many blessings and always have. And why? Because they're God's chosen people. They are God's people. He's made a promise to them that he will bless them. Now, the second question is, are the Jews absolutely living for God? And the answer is no, they are not. But God still loves them. But see, the same goes for us. Even though we stray and we do things, God still loves us. And if you have accepted Christ in your life, God ordains your steps and allows you to go to where He would have you to go if you will listen. God wants you to live for His glory. Paul said, be content at whatever state you're in Philippians 4:11. So no matter where... Now, just because you are content does not mean that you are not striving to be better and better. Because if you read the word of the Lord, you will find out that God does not say, come to me, get saved, sit down in your pew and do nothing. He says, in fact, He says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what Peter says. So if you're going to grow, that means you're going to do something. And the natural thing is that you will grow. That's what will happen. Is that when you, and that includes anything you do. If you are working for a living, which we all have to do because that's what God, that was the curse of Adam, is that the man must work by the sweat of his brow. And so if we all have to work, now if you start at minimum wage at a company and you've been working there for 30 years and you're still receiving minimum wage, something's wrong, isn't it? There is something. Now, it's either the company you're working for or it's you. Chances are, most of the time, it's you. If it's the company you're working for, you need to quit that company and go find another one. Right? You don't need to stay there and work for 30 years for minimum wage. There are those companies that do that, and shame on them, but that's what happens. But many times, people use that more as a scapegoat because they're not working that hard. And so the natural state of things is that you grow. My beautiful little granddaughter, Serenity. When she was born, she was 6'7", I think. Well, she's not 6 pounds, 7 ounces no more. She's seven months now. And if she was 6 pounds, 7 ounces now, we'd be taking her to the doctor. What's wrong, right? In fact, she's not just laying there anymore. Now she's rolling over, jumping up on her knees, trying to crawl around. We're trying to keep her from getting things all. She's growing. And if she was still just laying there and doing nothing, we would probably be saying, well, what's wrong? We need to go and get her checked out. Because the natural state is that we grow. And so as we are obedient to God, if we're not growing, then we need to check our life and say, okay, God, I can see something's wrong in this part of my life. I'm not growing. I'm not growing in my prayer life. I'm not growing in my knowledge of the Bible. I'm not growing in what you would have me to do. And so at that point, you have to check your life, so that you might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is how God continues to bless you, is because you grow. It's going to be a lot easier to bless you as you grow. Number two, when you realize that you have Christ in you, it should be easier to understand that you also have greatness within you, because you have Jesus Christ in you. You know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you? Did you know that? The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you? Miss Helen came to me this morning. She says, I've been thinking about you all week. Well, of course, I appreciate that. Thank you. We prayed for her, though. And now her hands are better. And she said if she does something a little bit too strenuous, now they hurt. But she couldn't even use them before. She couldn't crochet. And so now we prayed for her hands. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in us. And so we now have the faith to know that we can pray for someone and it will happen. Now, when is it going to happen? I can't answer that. If I pray for someone in a wheelchair and they don't jump up and run around, that's not my fault. I'm the prayer. I'm not the healer. I pray to God and allow Him to work, because I want to allow Him to help me to grow. But I know that I have greatness in me that is not me. It is Christ in me. And you are the same. There is a greatness about you that we haven't even tapped into. That each one of us just sits back and says, you know, I could never do that, or I could never do this. You know, if you can never do it, that means, you know, I could never play the piano like Miss Vanessa. Well, no, because I've really never sat down at the piano and tried to play it. You see, it's not to anybody's fault but mine. Because, see, I have the piano in me. If I want to sit down and play it, I've got it in there. But I've got to work at it. It's not going to just pop on there and here it goes. It didn't just pop on Miss Vanessa. Church probably got tired of that same song every week. I don't know. How long does she have to do that? It was a long time. Played the same song every week. Which song was that? Do you remember Miss Joanne? He can't remember either. Have thine own way. So you see, you must be really good at that song. You need to play it for us sometime. You got a lot of practice at that song. Right, it's the first one she learned. Right, you know. So that greatness that you have came because you said, you know what, I can play the piano. See, it's a state of mind. It's something you begin to believe. You either can or you can't. Okay? If you say, I can play the piano and I can be great at it, you're right. And if you say, I can't play the piano, guess what? You're right also. Because you've already made up your mind. I can't do that. I'm not going to try. So what is it in your life that you want to do in a form that would glorify God, but you haven't done it because your mind is holding you back saying, I can't do that. Maybe it's the devil coming against you saying, you can't do that. I'm telling you, you can. If you think you can't witness to someone and see their life changed, you're wrong. You can. And that is God's will. He has placed it in everyone's heart so that you might minister the gospel and someone might be saved. Now, that someone might only be your son or daughter. Well, praise the Lord. That's the way it's supposed to be anyway. That's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be training your young ones about Christ. So praise the Lord, that works. But then once you get your son or daughter to come to Jesus, guess what? Now you get the confidence to know, wait, you know what? I might be able to talk to someone else in the same way. What is it that you think that you can't do? But really, it's not that you can't. It's that you're not, because you're not believing. If you realize you have Christ within you, if you realize that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Is that not correct? Amen. Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Do you understand what that says? It says that as you begin to meditate on God's Word, as you begin to pray to Him, as you begin to understand Him, as you begin to have a relationship with Him, you will know what His will is for you. You won't have to guess. You're going to know. I think Miss Vanessa probably knows it's His will that she plays the piano. In fact, she doesn't only play the piano for us. She goes down to the Methodist church before us and plays for them. She knows that's His will, that she plays the piano. She does. I bet, do you get up every morning and say, well, God, is it your will that I play the piano? Do you get up on Sunday mornings every, well, God, I don't know, is it your will that I play the piano? You don't have to do that. And neither do I have to get up in the morning and say, well, God, is it your will that I preach today? See, I don't have to do that. I got into a lot of trouble early in the ministry because I told the wrong man what God's will was. Not for his life, for mine. He got extremely upset. because I didn't say, if it's God's will, I will preach. I said, it is God's will and I will preach. He got very upset with that because I was not questioning God. I was confident of what I was supposed to be doing. He took that to the deacons, caused a whole lot of turmoil in the church. Because he said I was arrogant and I had no humility. Because I didn't say, if it's God's will, I'll do this or that. He said, this is what I'm going to do. But see, I don't have to pray about that. Because I know about that. What's in your life that you're pushing away because you're denying what God's already told you that you're supposed to do? Is it maybe working with preteens? Is it working with youth? Is it working with kids? Is it working with senior adults? What is it that you are not doing because you're like, you know, that's a crutch? Well, if it's God's will, I'll do this. Well, how are you going to know if you don't ask? Most people use that as a crutch because they don't ever want to ask and rely. You know, if I heard Miss Vanessa up here playing the piano, and she wasn't playing for us. She was just playing by herself. She's all by her lonesome. She's playing that piano. I said, man, you're good. You ought to be playing for us. Well, if it's God's will, maybe I would. Well, with a talent like that, it's God's will. Right? All the talents you got are supposed to be used for... Are you an accountant? Be an accountant for God. Are you a carpenter? Be a carpenter for God. Whatever it is that you're doing right now should be for the glory of God. You don't have to ask if it's God's will whether or not you support your family. Right? God tells us in no uncertain terms, right in the Word, you're supposed to support your family. That's what, right? You know God's will. There are many things in your life that you already know. Well, lastly, I want to talk with you just a minute about failures, though. Because you see, with successes, what we don't see is with successes comes many failures. Now, I'm not really picking on Miss Vanessa, but it just kind of seems to work today. Chances are, as she was playing that song every time, there was somebody out in the audience that was saying, I wonder how many times we're going to have to hear this. And so they were successes in one way because it built up her esteem to know I can play, but still, by some, they could have been construed as failures. You see, you can't have successes if you don't have failures. I'll bet you missed a note or two as you were doing that. That young man that played for us on Wednesday night, he missed a few notes. We blew his mind because he didn't expect us to sing with him. And we started singing with him, and when we did that, he missed a note. Well, he's not experienced enough to know that, well, you just keep on going. If you miss a note, you keep on going. No, he had to stop, go back and get the note. You know? So that kind of blew his mind. But he has to have that failure so he will know what the success feels like. So many of us have to understand that we have those failures are just as important as the successes. Financial blessings are generally missed because someone presents them to them in overalls and it looks like work, right? No success comes without work. It's the way it works. The law even applies to the unbeliever. God said to Adam, man must work by the sweat of his brow in Genesis 3:19. You know, President Lincoln had very few successes. In fact, I don't think he was elected to office until he was elected to president. He failed at everything that he ran for. He was not voted in. Walt Disney. I was listening to a thing about Walt Disney one day, and I don't think most of us realize he failed at almost every part of Walt Disney until Mickey Mouse. And you know, even after he had that great success with Mickey Mouse, his own board turned him down for Walt Disney World. His own board turned him down for Walt Disney World, and he had to go out on his own and figure out how to do Walt Disney World because he knew that that was what he was supposed to do, or he felt like that was what he was supposed to do. And of course, the rest of that is history. I mean, Disney, a big part of Disney's bottom line is the theme parks that are around the world. There's not just one, they're all over the place. So he had many failures that he had. Now, some people, in fact, I guess the common people would say, well, I failed. I guess I shouldn't be doing that. Or I guess that wasn't God's will. Remember, Paul tried to go into Asia 3 times when he was preaching the gospel. He tried to go over into a portion of Asia 3 times, and God said, no, you're not going there. Now, many of us, forget about that. What about when Paul went in, when he first started preaching, was almost stoned to death? Now, most of us would probably say, well, I guess that ain't God's will. That's right, that ain't God's will, so let's go do something else. But that was God's will for Paul. And so he continued. He knew what his will was for him. And in fact, remember God had said, I have to show Paul how much he must suffer for my sake. Jesus said that. So Paul didn't have to wonder, well, should I be stoned? Because God already had told him, look, you got to suffer for my sake. And so he knew that was his will. He kept on walking. He kept on working. Colonel Sanders. He had many failures until he was late in life. He was about 60-something before his first success with fried chicken. And now, of course, everybody knows who Colonel Sanders is. Even the kids know who Colonel Sanders is. So there are successes that come, but they come through hard work, and sometimes they're disguised as failures. And we continue to just quit as Christians when we run up a roadblock. Don't forget who puts the roadblocks there 99% of the time. Now, sometimes it could be a test, but most of the time it is Satan not wanting us to do what God would have us to do. And so, if you want to be a success in your life, you've got to continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that you might glorify Him in every single thing that you do. God sees and He hears your struggles. I don't know where you are this morning, but He sees you and He hears you. And if you're crying out to Him today for financial or for healing or for family situations or whatever, God hears you, understands your struggles. Don't forget, God Himself came down to this earth. Now, He didn't come down so He could experience what we go through. He didn't come down so He could experience the struggles. He didn't come down so He could experience the pain, the suffering. He came down so we would know that He knows exactly what we're going through. That's what He did it for. Because see, He is Almighty God. And if He didn't know that already, then He wouldn't be sovereign. If He didn't know of the pain, the struggles and everything. But He came down as a witness for you and me. To know that, you know what, I can rely on Jesus because He knows exactly what I'm going through. He knows exactly of the struggles. He knows exactly of the pain. He knows about the broken relationships. One of His closest, Judas, who broke the relationship. He knows about what you're going through. And that's what He wants you to understand today, is that He knows about everything that is going on in your life. He's not finished with you yet. I do not care how old you are or how young you are. Most, when they get to be even my age and older, maybe a little younger than me, maybe when you hit 50, I don't know what the magic age, but there's many who say, you know what, I've been there and I've done that, let the kids do it. You know, we could have said that with that jumpy house. Because you know what, that thing's heavy. And ain't none of us as young as we used to be. Now, 30 years ago, I'd have probably been running in there, well, let me just show you, I can lift this thing by myself, you know? But now I'm like, you know what, Mike, Donnie, you know, Virgil, a few of y'all come over here. I don't want to show y'all if I can lift this myself. I want to walk home today. But see, we could have just said, you know what, we're not doing that. We're old. We could say, we don't need to do a fall festival. This church is old. We can say, we don't need to do a spring festival or an Easter festival. Forget about it. We don't even have very many kids in here right now. So let's just go with what we've got. But you see, God's not through with you yet. He wants us, in fact, His Word says that the older will minister to the younger. Right? That means as we get older, do you realize there's no retirement in the Bible? Either for ministers or people. And find me that verse if there is. The only retirement in the Bible does not sound like what I want. Because the only retirement in the Bible was the rich man that looked all over everything that he had done. And he looked around at all of his estate and he said, man, this is awesome and this is wonderful. And I'm going to just sit back now and enjoy it all. And God says, you fool, I'm going to require your life of you this day. That's the only retirement. That doesn't sound like God really wants us to stop. No matter what. Do you know that several years ago I had an 86-year-old man at preteen camp? And he was out working me, to tell you the truth. Now, he never came back, but that's not the point. He was there and he was out there playing with those kids. 86 years old, playing with 10, 11, 12-year-old kids in those games. If you've ever been to one of those camps, they do those games and they get you wet and slimy and dirty and all kinds of stuff. But he was out there. He could have said, well, you know what? I've been there and I've done that. I'll let one of them kids do it. No, he showed up and he did it. In fact, in most of our preteen camps, we have older people who are working. I don't know where you're standing today. But what I do know is God is still in control. He doesn't want you to take life for granted. He doesn't want you to sit around and just say, okay, I've been there and I've done that. He wants you to finish strong. One of my favorite professors at Liberty was Elmer Towns, and his slogan was, he wants to finish strong. He said his dream is to die in the classroom. Now, I don't know, that might be pretty traumatic for his class if that happens. But that's not the point. This is a man who's about 86 years old, who's still getting around, who's still teaching, who's still doing what his passion is, and his desire is to finish strong. Not just sit down and say, okay, we're done. Lord, you know, I don't understand why you're keeping me down here. You know, let's go. You know, what a miserable life I think that is, just sitting around. Well, I don't know why the Lord keeps me here. Let me answer the question for you. Because he's not done with you yet. That's why. Use whatever it is God's given. If all you've got left is your mouth, you can proclaim the gospel.
Thank you for joining with us on this segment of His Gospel Power. I'm Rick Hurtless. This is a listener-supported ministry, so I'm asking for your help. You could help in many ways. You could go to Amazon.com and buy any one of my books. If you just type in Rick Hurtless, you can take a look at the different books that I offer. My latest book is True Freedom. And, of course, you can go to my website, hisgospelpower.org, hisgospelpower.org. And there is a donate button on that website. You can click on that website. You can make a donation that way. Or if you would just like to mail it the old-fashioned way, mail your checks to P.O. Box 1569, P.O. Box 1569, Rockdale, Texas 76567. And I would appreciate your help in this matter and, in fact, with any future support that you would like to give to this radio ministry. If it is blessing you, if you are hearing the Word of God and you are being fed on this radio broadcast, it would be my honor to accept your donation so that I might keep bringing it to you. Don't be alone.